We have seen the history of the birth of the divine twins, that's Draupadi and Drishtadyumna, at Panchala, and the reason for these. The teacher Drona had got his own back for the insults and humiliations from the king of the Panchalas, and now the king Draupadi was in a position or had the means by which he himself could get his own back on Drona. Things at this stage are getting a little bit congested, so let's just see actually how we stand. The old blind king was feeling more and more isolated as his people could see that the effectiveness of ruling their nation in the future was far better in the hands of Yudhishthira, who was the heir apparent, than the king himself. And so, part of a tactical situation, he didn't ban the Pandavas, but he did suggest that they should go to a northern town. There were many festivals going on there. It's a place that they would love, and they can come back in a year or so. But Yudhishthira knew immediately what was happening. They were being ousted, and it was Duryodhana, of course, who'd been at the root of this plan to get him out of the way, and for him to consolidate his position with the people as the heir apparent, rather than Yudhishthira, because Yudhishthira was out of the picture. So they'd gone up north, and after about a year or so, Duryodhana had put into effect his plan of trying to burn them alive. Unfortunately, they were saved by Drona, and they went into hiding. And we're now at this situation where Vyasa, the sage, and their grandfather had said to them, equal to both of you, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, with my affection. But in any relations, you have your preferences, you have your favourites, and I am more favoured towards you. So he guided them into a Brahmin's house, where he said they should stay and hide, because remember down at the Hastinapura, it was thought that they had been burnt in this house, the so-called House of Lac, because it was made of lacquer and very inflammable and so on. So they spent their time pleasantly in this house in the town called Ekakrara. And from time to time, visitors would come. Well, on one occasion, a travelling Brahmin came in, and they honoured him as all guests are honoured in that situation. And he was a talker. He was telling them stories of this and that. And he told them about the birth of Draupadi and Drishtadyumna. And he told them in some detail what had happened between Draupadi and Drona. And when they heard this was actually like a bombshell. It was like a thunderclap. Because, you see, they'd been through the stage of being trained by Drona. They carried out his wish, his fee, that is, binding King Draupadi, bring him to him. He got his nation of North Panchala, but they hadn't a clue, really, of the deviousness of the plan that got to this situation. So when they heard of it, they really were thunderstruck. Kunti, their mother, could see how upset they were, so she immediately went to Yudhishthira and said to him, you know, we've been here a long time, we've enjoyed ourselves, there have been lovely parks here, we know them well, we've been treated well and given alms. She said, you know, we've been here a long time, I think we should move on, because we know all these places, that we might be getting a bit bored with it, and the alms we get will be less as time goes on. So, if you're agreeable, let us go. And Yudhishthira said, well, you're our mother, your word is our command, but I'm not quite sure what the brothers will say. Anyway, she went to the brothers, and they were in accord. They wanted to leave, wanted to move on, and they wanted to join the caravan and all the Brahmins and people who were flocking to the wedding, the Swayamvara of Draupadi. Remember, they called the Swayamvara is the bridegroom's choice, where the bride actually has some difficult feat for all her suitors, all the princes who are coming to her wedding, and the one who got it, she would give him garland him, and he could be the husband to her. Well, the Brahmin would come early and tell him all the news. One of the big news was this Swayamvara. Of course, for Brahmins, it was great, because it was a great jolly. In other words, they knew that King Draupadi was Brahminic. Doesn't mean he was acting like a Brahmin, like, say, Yudhishthira, but he's favourable towards the Brahmins, and he'd look after them. They get lots of stipends, they lock lots of food, and they get being treated very well indeed. So they were all pouring in to be part and parcel of this great festival and this great sacrifice. And as they were moving out of the town, they once more, as so often happens, they came across Vyasa, the grandfather. And he said to them, he said, you know, for some time, I've realized, I've seen inwardly what is going to happen, how the nation is going to be divided. There's going to be an enormous amount of suffering. And I've seen also that Draupadi was going to be the wife of your family, and you'll be very happy. So you should go down there, you should take part in this feat. Go and disguise yourself as Brahmins. So they set off, and it was quite a long trek, quite a few days to get there. And one of the part of the journey was following the Ganges, lovely woodland and what have you. And it was in the evening where they were following, looking for an encampment, and they were king of the Gandavas. Gandavas, remember, were a bit like Rakshasas. So one is from the good side and one is from the bad side. They were demigods. And they were actually, I mean, they were often beautiful singers. They did a lot of singing and what have you for the gods. But they also were warriors. They were often guards and things like that. Anyway, this king, it was his, as he was concerned, it was his domain. Someone was coming in on his domain. And in the evening, when they start getting pretty active, he had a whole lot of his women folk were down there. And they were having a jolly time. And he was pretty mad that these interlopers had come in. So he was pretty frank with the Gandavas, said, you clear off, otherwise I'll deal with you. You know, I am who I am and I can deal with you. He had come to the Pandavas fully armed, beautiful chariot, very ornate. And immediately Arjuna came up and to the mark and said, we have every right to be here. These are the holy waters of the Ganges. We have as right as anyone else has to enjoy them and take advantage of them. And immediately battle. A whole bunch of arrows whizzed towards Arjuna from the Gandava, from Chitrata. And so immediately Arjuna said to him, you are a divine being, and therefore I'm going to use divine weaponry on you. I'm going to let off the Agnaya, the fire weapon, to you, which he did. And immediately it was as if his chariot exploded. It was turned over. He was shot off it. He fell onto his face. He was staggering around. In fact, Arjuna had to rush over to him, pull him by the hair, to pull him away from the burning ashes of the chariot. Well, he was in a pretty sorry position, and his wife came over, and she said to the Pandavas, please have mercy on us, please save and don't kill my husband. Well, Yudhishthira turned to Arjuna, and he said, would you kill an enemy who you've actually beaten, who's vanquished in battle? He's lost his fame, and now he needs protection from his woman. Well, and let him go free. And so that is what Arjuna did. And poor old Chitrata, he had another name then, he had a sort of kingly name. He said, I've got to change my name. You know, it's a total humiliation. But what he did say is, I'd like to give you all, that's all the brothers, 100 horses, and these would be celestial horses, the ones that in fact never tire. Although they may be exhausted, they never tire, and they have certain divine attributes that safeguards them. And he said to Arjuna, he said, I'd also like to give you the inner vision, the ability to see things, almost psychic ability, that other people can't see. He said, I have this ability, I can pass it over to you. So Arjuna said, well, if it's a matter of you giving me these things because I've saved your life, then I don't want them. And so the Chitrata said, let me give you these things and you can give me the Agnaya weapon as a swap. And this is what they did. And in fact, they became very friendly. And Arjuna said to Chitrata, why was it you attacked us as you did? And Chitrata said, well, the problem was not just that I considered you on my property, but you didn't have any holy fire before you, and you didn't actually have a Brahmin. And Chitrata said, you know, if you'd been a normal Kshatriya, with the normal desires and makeup and what have you, actually I would have conquered you. But because of your high moral state, your purity, then in fact you had the strength to overcome me, who should be able to overcome you. And he said, you need to get a priest and you need to get a fire in order to give you, if you like, credibility as combatants. So Arjuna said, well, where can we do this? Well, Chitrata said, I know a person, and he was very well versed in the Vedas, he's a young man, and he'd be ideal for you. So he led them Dormio was his name, and they got on well, and he was installed as the priest. The ceremonies, he had sacrificial roots and food and water anointing, all this sort of stuff, for him to become their family priest. But Chitrada did say was that, "It's just my bad luck coming across you," that's Arjuna, "a person who has divine weaponry in the situation that you were." Well, they parted as good friends, and the brothers proceeded further, and that's when they came again to a large caravan of Brahmins going towards the Panchala. And the other Brahmins in the caravan explained that this was really a great event for them. They'd do very well out of it. And they looked at the brothers and said, "Well, you know, you're a fine, good-looking lot, and the enormous beamer there, he could well get a lot of prize money in wrestling," because it was like a fair. There's lots of activities, fair, bards singing, music, or dancing, all this sort of stuff. And they said, "Well, you know, she might even choose one of you." Well, my time's up. We'll have to see what happens. If you have been, thanks for listening.